We left off yesterday. We were talking a lot about the different types of chalosim, of pidyon, and kinyon, and we wanted to know just how related these two are. So we spoke about it in terms of our sugya, in terms of the Gemara seems to connect some of the halachas of kiddushin with some of the halachas of pidyon. We can derive one from another, we can refute one from another. So that was a fundamentally kinyonic asef. And therefore, they really are the same sugya. They really are the same parshas. Can be compared and contrasted when trying to figure out what methods are acceptable for pidyon / kinyon. The problem with this idea that's quoted, that Reb Chaim himself quotes, is that there's another tradition that we have in the name of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim seemed to draw a distinction between different types of pidyon. Not all pidyonim are the same. So that was what we quoted yesterday. The Reb Chanan presented a question to Reb Chaim that there are two different halachas that seem to contradict one another. On one hand, we find that Rashi tells us that the source that Dvar Mos Konus is learned out from Pidyon Hekdesh, that seems to very much connect the dots between Pidyon and Kinyon. If Kinyon Kesef is not, and if Pidyon is not a form of a Kinyon, it's very hard for that to be the source for Kinyon Kesef in for Batalkalin. So that Reb Chaim is maskim. Reb Chaim is maskim to Reb Chanan that Pidyon Hekdesh is in fact the din of Kinyon. Now the problem is the Gemara B'Metzi in the fourth parak has this very strange way of being paid to Meisa Sheni. And the Meisa Sheni is not worth the pruta, so the Gemara says, well, it's still possible as long as you have Maos Rishonis, as long as you have original coins that have a little bit of extra change left over, so you can, they can kind of, you know, swallow up the Pachas Hashem pruta. So the Chanan presented to Reb Chaim, how does that make any sense? If the din of Pidyon requiring Sheva pruta is rooted in Kinyan Kesef, so Kinyan Kesef, it can't be kind of something less than a pruta. How does it help the fact that there used to be something before? Reb Chaim responded back to Rabbi Chanan. He said, no, that's not a din of Kinyan. That's a din of Pidyon. And that's a din of Nuchas Pidyon. That's a Chiddush HaTorah, Nuchas Pidyon, that you can't be paid by itself, Pachas Sheva pruta, but if it piggybacks on something else, then it would be okay. So the problem is that which Reb Chaim now presents as a difference between Pidyon Hekdesh, Pidyon Meisa Sheni, that doesn't fit into what Reb Chaim writes in the Sefer. And again, it's not a great surprise. Reb Chaim was a human being. Reb Chaim was a big Talmid Chacham, not at all to degrade Reb Chaim, but human beings sometimes change their mind. So the pasuk says that Nei Hashem Lo Shenisi, then the Baruch Shalom doesn't change his mind. The Baruch Shalom stays the same. But Baruch Hashem is very nochen. Sometimes the Baruch Shalom, he knows betchila what he's going to change, quote unquote, change his mind. So it appears to us that he's changing his mind. But the Baruch Shalom, everything is the same. But human beings change their mind as great Talmid Chacham as they are. Reb Chaim lived for many years. He lived it. He's well into his 60s. I think he's, how old is Reb Chaim? 68. He died in 1917. Reb Chaim. He's buried in Warsaw. Reb Chaim didn't live in Warsaw. He lived in Brisk. He lived in Volozhin. He lived in Brisk, but he's buried in Warsaw. Because during World War One, so there's a lot of upheavals, everything was all over the place. So Reb Chaim ended up in Warsaw. So he's Taka buried in the basic forest in Warsaw, where the Netziv is also buried. The Netziv also didn't live in Warsaw. But he ended up in Warsaw, I think, for medical treatment at some point towards the end of his life. So I think that's where they both ended up. They're buried next to each other. Anyone been at the Kever? It's very
good stuff.
What?
It's good stuff,
yeah, okay. So I had a schuss several years ago. I took a group of boys from Berlin, from Yeshiva in Berlin. And a little whirlwind trip of some cities in Poland, so we went to Warsaw. So I was saying shurim to them as we were going along. I was saying shurim, it was another a couple of days. So we got to the basic forest in Warsaw, we went to the Tziv in the Reb Chaim's Kever. So I tried to explain to the Bachar what we should daven for here. What could you possibly daven for to the Tziv in Reb Chaim's Kever? So I said we should daven for Tzloch and Limud HaTorah. So what else would the Tziv in Reb Chaim want? What else should you daven for? Should have, for else, what else matter to them? So you should be Matzlich to stay over the great Torah, to stay over the understand Reb Chaim's. So kachav, so we daven a special tefillah, which should be zoicha zayin to be mukat, to learn Torah properly. So then we had to make a little kumzat tzi, had to make it a little, you know, more exciting, more labor-dick. So we sang, me and 20 bachurim, we sang Avinu Avrahamon together, very moving. I think Rabbi Berg was with us at the time. I think he has it on some phone or some computer somewhere. If you want to see it, Rabbi Solovsky sitting by Reb Chaim's kever, singing Avinu Avrahamon with 20 yeshiva bachurim. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Reb Chaim changed his mind. Reb Chaim, when he had this conversation with Reb Chanan, it could have been 30 years before, I don't know when it was. So at different times, Reb Chaim had different feels, different takes on this issue about just what exactly the relationship between Kinyan and Pidyon is. So sometimes in the later years, apparently where it appears in the Sefer, so Reb Chaim held that both Pidyon Meisa Sheni and Pidyon Hekdesh are both rooted in Yilchus Kinyanim. In the earlier years, apparently when he told this to Reb Chaim, he wasn't so convinced. He thought that maybe there's a chilik between the two. Al Atzad, that there is a chilik between the two. Atzad, like Reb Chaim says, as related to Reb Chanan, that there is a difference between pidyon hetzesh and pidyon ma'aseh sheni. Forget about Agamara for a second. We have to come back to Agamara. How do you read Agamara? But according to this report of Rabbi Chanan, that pidyon hetzesh is definitely rooted in kinyanim. That's the Rashi in Bava Metzia. Whereas pidyon ma'aseh sheni is ultimately just a ma'aseh pidyon. How do we understand that conceptually? You know, it's one thing, if you want to be consistent in life, we've said hundreds of times, if you're extremes in life, we can understand. Extremes are very easy to explain. If you're a kitzoni in this, you may be wrong, but at least you're explaining yourself. The guy's in the other extreme, so like, you also may be wrong, but at least he can explain himself. When you start to walk tight ropes, and you start to say, I take a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and then a little bit of yeshivishness, a little bit of modernishness, a little everything, you know, I take what I want, you know, kind of kahina. So then you're starting to ask for trouble. In learning, you're asking for trouble in life. So here, Reb Chaim is walking this tightrope. He's saying, you want to tell me that pidyon is always kinyan kesef, chmin makabel. You want to tell me that pidyon is nishkin kinyan kesef, is chmin makabel also. You want to tell me that sometimes you one way and sometimes another way, like my high, sister Tera come from, that pidyon hektesh is a din kinyan, and pidyon mashen is a nice opinion. Where did Chazal figure this out? Ruch kodesh? Where did it say anywhere in the Chumash? The Torah speaks about pidyon. The Torah speaks about Vinasata Kesef. It says Vinasata Kesef Akomos. It's the same money, the same nesina. How do you figure out that a lumbus conceptually one is so radically different than another? So Rabbi Chan explains what Rabbi Chaim is driving at. Again, this is the Rabbi Chaim that we don't want because it doesn't help our sugya. But you have to understand what Rabbi Chaim meant when he was younger also. So Rabbi Chan explains that it makes a lot of sense to draw a distinction between the pidyon of Ma'aseh Sheni that's not a Ma'aseh Kinyan and the pidyon of Hekdesh that is a Ma'aseh Kinyan. Based on the following yesod, a really fundamental yesod, we know that if somebody's makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, so there are almost two things that happen. There are two changes that happen. Makdish a table to the Beis HaMikdash. So what's one thing that happens? So there's clearly a change in Issa V'Heter. Namely, Kolzman, that it wasn't Hekdesh, I was allowed to use the table. Kolzman, it's now Hekdesh, I'm not allowed to use the table. There's an Isser, and that Isser carries with it, it's Nisr Diraisa. It's Machlik Isser, we showed him what exactly the Pasuk is, but it's for sure Asa Bin HaTorah. But we know that it's Asa. How do we know that it's Asa? How do you know you're not allowed to use something that's Hekdesh? It's in Milsa the Pshita, because if you do, you chayav bring a Korban Me'ila. So you generally don't bring Karbonos for things that are mutter to be done. So if you're doing bringing a korban to be mechaper for the terrible avera that you did, it must have been you did some kind of an avera. So we're not sure, the Rishonim are not sure exactly what the avera is. Some Rishonim say the avera is lo yachol devaron, since you took a neder to give it to the Beis HaMikdash, by using it, that's profaning your words. That's defiling, that's like violating your neder, like violating your shvuah. Some Rishonim say that's the issa. So the Rambam has a different mokka for the issa. Again, there are different opinions in the Rishonim what the precise issa is. But there's no question that there's some kind of nisim in the right, a proof positive, there's a din of me'ilah. So there's a change in nisim v'heter. But there's another change that takes place as well. What's the other change that takes place? That I'm not the batman anymore on this table. This table belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. The gizbar, his name is now on the title of this table, of this head. It's not my table anymore. So there's no question that there's a change, a transformation in v'heter. But there's no question there's a change in dinim hamidus. But yesh lach kor, what the nature of these two halachas are. One could argue that the two halachas are just happen to both be true. When something becomes hektish, so two things happen. Once a person says, Hareza hektish, so shemayim, two independent halachas kick in, changes in it, so we had to change the minimum. Or, as we've seen many, many times already, that whenever you have one that results in two different results, what's the initial antennas of Lomdus have to go up. Right? This is all part of Lomdus 101. What do you have to think of whenever you see this type of a model? We just spoke about this recently, right? Where did we talk about it? I forgot. Where did we talk about it? By Kiddushin, Kiddushin Tovsin, by Arias, right? Remember we spoke about that? Whenever you see something happens and now two things branch out. So the basic question is, are they two independent branches or is really one fueling the other? Is one the engine of the other? So how do we understand what's going on in terms of the Isser of Me'ila, the Isser of Ahet, of not using Hekdesh? So one could suggest that ultimately what really is fueling the sugya of Me'ila is the change in Dinim Avodah. The Din is that when you Makdesh something to Shemayim, what you're really doing is you're giving it as a gift to Shemayim. what you're really doing is handing over the reins to the Beis HaMikdash. You're giving it to the Gizbe, giving it to the Beis HaMikdash, and it becomes, in Halacha, called Mamon Hekdesh. The moment that it becomes Mamon Hekdesh, then there's an Issa Me'ilah that kicks in. The Issa Me'ilah and Hekdesh is not so fundamentally different than what other Issa in Halacha. The Dover Shel Hekdesh belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it belongs to Hekdesh now, and I'm not allowed to use it. What does that almost sound like? When something belongs to somebody else and I'm not allowed to use it? What? We call that what? What's the name of that issur? Of using something that doesn't belong to you? Gezela. So it's quite possible that's what Me'ilah is. Me'ilah is almost like an act of Gezela. It's a Gezel in a Shemayim. It's a Gezela from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. If that's the case, that the nature of the issur of being Nedim in a Hekdesh ultimately results from it being Mamon Hekdesh, if that's true, that's a big question mark, that's a big if, but if that's true, then it shouldn't be surprising that what would be the mechanism of being Matir the Isra Hekdesh? Hapesha also Pesh Hittir, easy come, easy go. The same way that it became the Isra Hekdesh, the Isra Me'ilah was Chal on it, was because it became Mamon Hekdesh, then it would make a lot of sense that the way to be Matir that Isra, the way to unravel that Isra would be to do what? To get at the root cause, to get to the underlying cause, and namely, to be koned back. I say kona, to be koned back. When you were makdish, you were makdish it to the Beis HaMikdash. When you paid it, you kona it from the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, if that model is correct, that the Isser B'Yatzmuso, it ultimately stems from the Mamon, so then it would make a lot of sense that Pidyon Hekdesh should be a form of a kinyon. It's really the opposite of the act of Hekdesh itself. So we have any Gemaras, any Rais, anywhere in Shas that lead us to believe that when you mock this up, what really happens is it becomes Mamon Hekdesh, and ultimately the Isser kicks in as a result of Mamon Hekdesh. How would we ever prove that? Do you have any ideas how to prove that? Now, okay, we know that the facts are when you mock this something, it's awesome, but we don't know whether it's a result of Mamon Hekdesh. We know that Pidyon solves the problem, but we don't know whether our Lomdus or model is correct. So how would we go about in the laboratory trying to prove whether this theory is right, that it's ultimately Mamon Hekdesh that's fueling the Isser? How would we even begin? But not giving me the details, just, you know, the structure of what we would try to do.
Find the case, see if it works.
We'll find what case?
But
well, we know the facts. So the facts are the Torah says if you're machta something, you're not allowed to use it. We know the Torah says Yechayim Ila, but we don't know whether this is the engine or these are really two separate halachas. So we're not sure whether this is the correct model or this is the correct model. Well, there are two different models. There are two different plays on the board here. So we don't know which is right. How would we even begin to prove? Just conceptually. So you would either have to find the case of what were we saying? Well, so could you possibly split between the two? That would be one possibility, right? Could you possibly dream up real? That's possible. Well, what if I tell you as follows? What if I draw you the following model on the board? A machdish something. It becomes Mamon Hekdesh. The Isser kicks in. And I'm going to find some kind of a stunt for you in Halacha. I'm going to have to really, really work hard on this. I'm going to find some kind of a stunt for you in Halacha that's going to remove the Mamon Hekdesh. It's not going to remove the Issur Hekdesh per se. It doesn't say it in the Chumash. It's not Pidyon. I'm going to come up, I'm going to learn Chesh Mishpat really well. I'm going to come up with some kind of a way to undermine the Mamon Hekdesh. Will the Issur Hekdesh disappear as well? That should be a good test case. That should be a good model, right? Because if the Issur Hekdesh remains Mimakoimoi, even though the Mamon Hekdesh is Paka, that's a proof positive that the Issur stands on its own 2 feet. That this is the correct model. Issur can exist without Mamon Hekdesh. But if, as soon as the Mamon Hekdesh will go up in smoke, the Issur will also fall down, domino effect, the whole Issur is going to disappear also, then that will be an indication that the Issur never really stood on its own 2 feet. The Issur was only a direct result of the Mamon Hekdesh. Right? That's a pretty good, I mean, I have no idea what the case is. I mean, I do, but I don't tell you what the case is. But that's a good model. It's a good way of thinking. We should train ourselves how to think a little bit. Anybody want to fill in the gaps? At the last break, one second, Schulin. Okay, we'll fill in the gaps. Yeah.
Chicken.
The chicken. Did they put it in the Maamar Kavos?
No, but it's mentioned in one of the other sources.
Oh, okay. I think Rabbi Chorin quotes it. Rabbi Chorin, I think Rabbi Shimon quotes it. The Gemara says the end of Maseches Chulin. What if you have a chicken that belongs to Hekdesh? Now, this chicken is not going to be brought as a carbon. Why is this chicken not going to be brought as a carbon? Because it's a chicken. You're going to bring a Torah Geisel as a Torah B'nai Yonah, right? So it's a chicken. But a guy was mocked to shit to give to the basic Hekdesh as a gift. So here he's got his chicken. You know, he's Erev Yom Kippur. He's going to. Now the Sheikh Kapar says, you know what, I'm not going to give this to the Niyam, I'm going to give this as a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash will sell it, they'll do whatever they want with it. So he's Makdash, it's better Kabayis, right? It's Kodesh, Mikdushas, Kodeshim, to the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So he's on his way to Yerushalayim, to knock on the Gizbar's door, to bring this chicken, to present it to him. And you know what happens to the chicken? Squawk, 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 gobbling away, squeaking away, and it runs away. Tanagosha Marda, it rebels, a revolution. And the Tynagolus gets away. And he's running after it. It's going, and he gets, runs away. He can't find it anymore. The chicken's gone. It was murder. What's the status of that chicken? So comes the Gemara and says, Tynagolus, murda. What? Pukul Kedusha Asamino. The Kedusha's gone. And if somebody will go ahead and use that chicken by mistake, and then they'll identify the chicken a week later, say, oh, that was the Hekdesh chicken. Don't worry about it. Het the Gemara. It's not Kedush anymore. There's no meaning like a chechti, you can eat, you can do whatever you want with it. It that loses this kedusha. Tadigol shemarda pachal kedusha asa. What kind of din is that? By davashim l'shalema tadigol shemarda kedusha asa. Where did that come from? There's no pasuk chumash. Nowhere in Pashtu Chukosai. Even the end of Pashtu Chukosai, all the psukim that no one remembers, even that doesn't appear. There's no pasuk for that. Where did that come from? What's the answer? No. This, you're not bringing a carbon. It's not a carbon. This is Hekdesh, Bede Kabayis. It's not going anywhere near the Mizbeach. This is not going anywhere near the Mizbeach. This is not doing Nedar and Davar. This is my Mizbeach stuff. It's not going anywhere near. What? It's not in my possession anymore. How can I possibly own? How can an entity be owned when it's running all over the place? It's not around. It loses its vitals. Tanagola Shemarda loses. If I own a chicken and the chicken starts running away and there's no way around it, not just an Aveda, it's gone. No one's touching this chicken. It's run all over the globe. It loses its bilus. That's a Dinach HaShemishma. You can't have bilus on something that's not controllable. So comes the Gemara Chulin and says, just as you can't have bilus on something that's not controllable, Hekdesh can't have bilus on something that's not controllable. And therefore, once the moment Hekdesh is Pacha, the Mela. Ain molin by Zakhtar Bukhanan does a raya brura to my Yisrael that when you makdish, this is not the correct model. There are no independent isr, there's no independent isr from the Maamar Hekdesh. The isr is neveya from the Maamar Hekdesh. Azoy state. Azoy state in Rabbi. Rabbi said, now take the same model and go to Maisa Sheini. I'm going to ask you the following shaila. What if you have a tarnagoles shel maisa sheni shabarda? Now some of you are looking at me like I'm off the wall. Why do you think I'm off the wall? Because we all know that what? Chickens don't grow in the ground, right? Who's going to tell me how you can have kedushas maisa sheni and a tarnagoles? Very simple. What? Nah. Too long. Gutazoy, gavaldik, right? I have a kessel from Meister Sheni, and I go ahead and I buy a chicken with it. So that chicken has kedushas Meister Sheni on it. It has to be in now shechten in Yerushalayim b'kedushim tara. It's kedush b'kedushas Meister Sheni. It's no different than the apples that grew as Meister Sheni. Zog d'mechon, what would it be if that chicken now went bananas? It went and joined its friend, Hekdesh took a chicken. So Zog d'mechon, we have no makor in the Gemara. There's no source anywhere to say that kedush is going to be paka. And a taka doesn't make any sense to be called paka. You know why? Why is there a din of maisa sheni? Why is there a halacha that maisa sheni has to be in b'kedusha v'tahara? All the isurim, all the dinim, all the details of maisa sheni. Where does that come from? So a person dedicates something as maisa sheni. So we're going to draw the same two models. Or is it mammon? Is it isur? Or maybe it's. Maybe that's the wrong model. Maybe the correct model is Maisa Sheni leading to Mammon. Maybe the Mammon leads to the Yisr. Which model do you think is correct for Maisa Sheni? What's the answer? neither of the models are correct. You know why? Because there's no mammon change in Maaseh Sheni. I mean, don't tell me a story that the Gemara says Maaseh Sheni mammon gavoa. First of all, that's a big machlekes haTorahim, even whether that exists. And even if it exists, there's a machlekes haShonim, what it means. So the last thing you're going to get started with is that sugya Maaseh Sheni mammon gavoa. That's not the same as mammon hekdesh. Maaseh Sheni is most probably no change in mammon. Most probably no change in mammon. Maaseh Sheni is direct. Like a long arrow. When you separate Maaseh Sheni, it creates Isurim right then and there. There is no change. There is no entity called Mr. Maaseh Sheni. Remember, we couldn't find the Maaseh Sheni person to write the shtar to yesterday. Remember, we were in a pickle yesterday. There is no entity. There is no corporation. There is no monetary institution called Maaseh Sheni. There's a monetary institution called Hekdesh, but not a monetary institution called Maaseh Sheni. Zochter b'chonon abazoi that there is no change in the Dinamamunus and Maaseh Sheni. Does it make any sense in the world to say that Pidyon Maaseh Sheni is a Kenyan? Who are you buying it from? It didn't belong to anybody. So Pidyon Maaseh Sheni, Zochter b'chonon, makes a lot of sense. What is Pidyon Maaseh Sheni? If Kedushas Maaseh Sheni is Isser, if it's plain Isser without any Mammon, what's Pidyon Maaseh Sheni? A pigeon. It's a Maaseh Chil, it's a Maaseh Pidyon. It's a Mavki of Kedusha, it's a Mavki of Isser. But it has nothing to do with Kenyan. There's no one to buy and sell from. So it makes a lot of sense what Reb Chaim said, but he told Reb Chanan. Reb Chaim said one line to Reb Chanan. Reb Chanan presented Reb Chaim the two dinim. He presented him, how do you make peace with the Rashid of Metziah that says, the Nasr HaKes of Kamal is a source for most kindness? How do you make peace with that with Chizkiah's statement of, that's how Reb Chanan thought. He saw two Gemaras. Both verses up when they learned Daf Yomi Baranovich. I think before the film even started. This is how Reb Chanan looked at the daf in Bav Metziah. He saw Rashi in Bav Metziah. He saw Gemara Bach Chizkiah, and he presented to his Rashi, presented to Reb Chaim. How do you solve this dilemma? Which Reb Chaim said, Pidyon Maaseh Sheni Luchud, Pidyon Hekdesh Luchud. That's what Reb Chaim told him, one line. Reb Chanan doesn't quote a whole piece, he quoted one line. They're not the same. So Reb Chanan went back to the Gemara and said, oh, let me explain to you why they're not the same. But the Rashi is Sat Gezoch makes a lot of sense. They're not the same in how something loses its Kedusha because they weren't the same the way it attained its Kedusha in the first place. So it makes a lot of sense. Of course, the problem is going back to the drawing board is back to Kedusha of Hamid Aleph. Because at the end of the day, if that's right, if that Reb Chaim and Reb Chanan are right, the Pidyon Hekdesh Maaseh Sheni are different, what doesn't fit here? What doesn't fit here? Malawat Kedushin of Hay. We just learned all this just to explain Kedushin of Hay. What does the Gemara say? Malakasash can put him a Hekdesh Maaseh Sheni. Tomewat Tomashtar. She ain't put him a Hekdesh Maaseh Sheni. Because if not, give him a Kamloi. According to Reb Chaim's word, the discussion of Hekdesh is not bad, but the word Maaseh Sheni is terrible. It's sticking out like a sore thumb. It doesn't belong here. It's not relevant to the discussion. We're discussing Kinyanim, and you're mixing in Pidyonis. Pidyon L'chud v'Kinyon L'chud. So according to Reb Chaim in the Sefer, this Gemara reads like a charm. But according to Reb Chaim and Reb Chanan's word, this Gemara falls flat on its face. What do you mean she came by Hekdesh Maaseh Sheni? Came by Hekdesh maybe. But Maaseh Sheni doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? They say something radical. I'm not sure it's true, but I just want to share it with you. It's a thought that just struck me after reading the sugya back and forth and up and down. Something just struck me. Not today, it struck me a few weeks ago. There's been one term in the sugya that has been throwing us off in terms of lamdas. Every place we turn, we're running into trouble in the Hamid Aleph. What's that one word? It's the two words. Every time we've analyzed the sugya, all day and a half. Every time we get to the same term, we run into trouble. What's the term? Maaseh Sheni. Maaseh Sheni is knocking us out of the box. How many kashas do we have from those two words of Maaseh Sheni? Well, with two words, they've already created three kashas. Who remembers? Who remembers yesterday? Who remember yesterday? No? What were the kashas yesterday? What was the dilemmas with Maaseh Sheni yesterday? The Rashba had a lot of problems. Because what did the Rashba say? Remember the Rashba said, we're talking about a shtar of writing, Hare Maaseh Sheni is a podoy, so frektik tzais against the Rashba, what? The Maaseh Sheni must be what? Must be talush, because there's no entity called Maaseh Sheni b'mechubar. If it's talush, a shtar isn't even toyface on Maaseh Sheni, right? So the tzais threw the Rashba up and says, tzorchi yungol, what's the Rashba's case? We got the wrong item here. The Gemara is talking about a shtar, which means karka. There's also something as karka for Ma'aseh Sheni. That was kasha number one. We had another problem. What were our other problems yesterday? We're writing a shtar. We have two big problems. What are the problems? We don't know who to deliver the shtar to. Remember? We weren't even sure who was writing the shtar, right? So yesterday we had three kashas on the Ma'aseh Sheni. We had it's metaltlin versus karka doesn't fit properly according to the Rashba. We have no idea who's writing the shtar. And even if we could figure out who's writing the shtar, we have no idea who we're delivering the shtar to. Hektish were fun. Hektish was a breeze. Hektish was a walk in a park. It's a Gizber. He's representing Hektish. He's got Valdekish. Hektish is karka, metaltlin. Everything is hunky dory in the Sugi of Hektish. Ma'aseh Sheni is getting us into trouble. So to add to that, we have a fourth kasha. What's the fourth kasha? That according to the way Reb Chaim and Reb Chonin and whole razzle dazzle shtickle Torahs from the whole sugya of Chizkiyah and Rashi about most kindness, it would appear from both Metziah sugyas that pidyon hektish and pidyon hashen are not identical to one another. If they're not identical, pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni parts ways. It's not a kinyan. So what's it doing over here? So we have four kashas against Ma'aseh Sheni. How does the line go? One kasha is a kasha, two kashas is a teretz, three kashas is a yesod, and four kashas is a what? Is a shir kloli. Okay, good. So we don't have a shir kloli here. There are just two things that are startling me. There are two things that are bothering me. Who knows what's bothering me in this Gemara? I don't know whether I'm right, but I'm just two things that are bothering me about this Gemara. One's in the Gemara, one's in the Rashi. The Gemara says, "Malik Kesef she'ain paid him a hektish ma'aseh sheni." Tarma b'shtar she'ain paid him a hektish ma'aseh sheni. Right? So the Gemara did not suffice itself by just saying that. The Gemara had to prove it. Right? The Gemara is going to prove. How do you know that shtar in paid him a hektish ma'aseh sheni? Right? The Gemara didn't just end just with a kasha and move on. The Gemara says, "Tarma b'shtar." What's the next line? The Gemara. Dichsib a pasuk. What's the pasuk? What's missing in the Gemara? That pasuk is by Hektish. For the same price, the Gemara could have said, "Dichsev v'nasan kesef kamlo, uksev v'tarta kesef biyadcha." Didn't it behoove the Gemara to tell us if you think that everybody knows everything you have to know about pidyon, and you don't have to bother quoting Pesukim because everyone's so smart, everyone, you know, one the Chidot Tanach, we all know the Pesukim anyway, so don't tell me one Pesuk. If you're already telling me a Pesuk, so tell me, finish the story. Tell me both Pesukim. It's just, again, pure text of the Gemara is a little striking. Anyone notice the first Rashi? What's the name of Rashi of the first Rashi? Shtar she'ein poydu bo hekdeshos. Did you see that? Did I miss that? Im kosov gizbo shtar bo pidyon hekdesh poydu bo hekdesh poydu bo kumloi. Isn't there something missing in Rashi? Shouldn't Rashi have explained to you what the parallel case was for Ma'aseh Sheni? Shouldn't the Dibra Masel have been she'ein poydu bo hekdeshos Ma'aseh Sheni? Again, I'm not an expert on old texts of the Gemara, but I'm not so sure that word Ma'aseh Sheni Rashi had in his Gemara. He sure doesn't say anything about it. He sure doesn't explain it. It's almost sticking out like a sore thumb in our sugya. We have four kashas as to what they're doing there. We have four problems with it. Again, I'm not changing yourselves in the Gemara. It's not a Risha. I'm not a Gra. It's not our style of doing things. I'm just being Me'orer that we have so many problems with Ma'aseh Sheni, and Rashi doesn't even seem to have it. Tzarchi, I'm not saying it, but Torah is Vados, I'm just being Ma'ir. Anyone see anything about this? No?
I mean, it also makes sense because the problem would need two different.
Yeah, you don't even need it. It's unnecessary, and it's so problematic. I don't know. I can't say for certain. I don't know. I don't know whether Rishon had it, didn't have it, I don't know. The Rashba Taka has it. The Rashba has Shekin Poldu Bakdashus and Isis, but the Rashba has it. I don't know. Okay. Bye bye, Sai. That's it, we can move on. whether or not you think there's a din kinyan or maaseh sheni, or it's just a din pidyon, Reb Chaim was back and forth. But one thing seemed to be non-negotiable. It was like chaypele yaver, non-negotiable. What was that? Which method of pidyon was non-negotiably a kinyan kasef? Which one? Pidyon hektish. That was nothing to discuss, right? That was like chaypele yaver. Pidyon hektish must be a kinyan kasef. And what led us to believe that? What was like so convincing, you know, that was so chaypele yaver? Who forced us into that corner? To believe that pidyon hektish is zicher kinyan kasef. Before you learn Kiddushin of Hay, you should have known that. Pidyon Hektesh, the Zichr Kinyan Kasef. Come on, that's Rebbe Chodin quoted. What was the Raya? Rashi B'Metzia, right? He says, Dvar Teira, the Tormos Kindness. Learned out from Pidyon Hektesh, right? Is that the most convincing, absolutely convincing Raya under the sun? First of all, we already know on our own that not everyone agrees to Rashi. Who was the Bar Pluk of Rashi in that sugya? Who remembers? The Rif. What was the Rif's Mokar? How did the Rif know that Bar Tarmel's Kainis? Kavachomim from what? From Eved Ivri. If you could buy his goof, Kavachomim, you could buy his money. Who remembers the Ramban? It's a Svara, Stam Kinyanim. It doesn't say, remember we always say, in Pashta Kinyanim state, what does the Ramban say? There is no Pashta Kinyanim. Betafka doesn't stay. The fact that the Torah doesn't say that by Betafkin, the default position is Kesef. The baseline, there you go, the starting point is Kesef. It's not proven otherwise. There is no proven otherwise. What was the Ramban's Rai? Who remembers? Baruch Chazar. Because the Gemara never asks by time of the Yechanan in Bava Metzias. By time of the Shlokesh, the Gemara starts turning the world upside down. Calling me out of Misech, don't nip me out of the yad. My time of the Yechanan doesn't exist. So Rashi stuck it into the Gemara. My time of the Yechanan, Pidyon Hektesh. And Ramban says, no, there is no my time of the Yechanan. So Taka, how come the Rif and the Ramban veered from Rashi's Pshat? What was wrong with Rashi's Pshat of the Nosar the Kesef HaKamloi? Is it possible to say they veered for this very reason? You know why they veered? Because they held conceptually it's not correct. There's no way in the world Pidyon Hektesh can serve as a model for Kinyan Kesef because Pidyon Hektesh is not a Kinyan Kesef. So the whole thing that started the ball rolling to say that a Pidyon is Kinyan, the source of the entire last Dan Afashir, that there's a pidyon out there that's called the Kinyan Kesef, is based on a Rashi, and we have half the Mishnayim disagree with Rashi. I'll tell you a secret. Not only do half the Mishnayim disagree with Rashi, you know who else disagrees in effect? In effect, who disagrees? Better than a Rishon. What could be better than a Rishon? An Amira. Who's the Amira? Who's the Amira? Rish Lakish disagreed with Rabbi Yechon. What did Rish Lakish say? I'm Rish Lakish, Mashiach is kind of. How come Rish Lakish didn't learn out from Pidyon Hektesh? What was wrong with Pidyon Hektesh? Maybe they're both kind of. Maybe Kesef and Mashiach are kind of. What was wrong with Pidyon Hektesh? Could it be what was wrong with Pidyon Hektesh is what? That it's not a kidney b'chol. Rish Lakish is listening to Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon is sitting by the edge of the Tveria, sitting by the Yam Kinneret, and they're discussing, well, how do you be kind of metatlin? So I'm Rabbi Yechon, and by Termos Kindness, Zot Rashi, because Pidyon Hektesh, Rish Lakish says, Pidyon Hektesh. You're Medina Rabbeinu, he turns to his Rebbe and his brother. Rabbi Yechon says, what does Pidyon Hektesh do with the price of Tien Shire? No pun intended. It doesn't have to do with anything. It was a good line, but I didn't even mean it that way. What does it have to do with anything? Pidyon Hektesh is the din of Yisavahetta. What does that have to do with Kinyanim? You're mixing up Cheshim Mishpat in your day. You're mixing up Chachim and Ezekiel. So it could be that Rashi said it to Das Rabbi Yechanan, but according to Rish Lakish, it's not even true. To make matters even worse for this Kinyan Pidyon equation, who remembers in the Machlekes Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish? Which team did Rashi end up on? What does Rashi say? La Lach? How do we pass? Who remembers back from Daf Gimel? Whether the most kindness or not, or Mashiach kindness, Rashi was on the tip of saying that what? That it could be that we follow Rish Lakish. Remember the Rashi Mechayrus, and we talk about this back at the Gimel with Kidani Akum. So according to Rashi, we don't even pass like Rabbi Yechanan. And it could be this was goof for the Nekudas HaKadosh, but the Nekudas HaMachlekes, Rabbi Yechon and Mishlachish, was revolving about this Nekuda. Rabbi Yechon discovered America and said, V'atarimel is kainas lindaf from Hektish, and Mishlachish says, not true. We have no documentation what they were fighting about. We weren't there at the Kinneret. Nobody was taping what was going on between Rabbi Yechon and Mishlachish. But I'm guessing what was going on. If Rabbi right that Rabbi Yechon's whole source for V'atarimel is kainas was learnt out from Pidyon Hektish, then Mishlachish responded back to them and said, not true. That's a din pidyon, not a din kinyan. What was taking place in Baranovich, what was taking place in Brisk in the 1800s, was identically what was going on back in Tveria between Rabbi Yechon and Mishlachish. That was in between the lines, between Rabbi Yechon and Mishlachish. What is pidyon and kinyan? What is the relationship between the two? Is pidyon hektish ultimately a kinyan kesef? That's the lumdish shaila. It's been around for 1800 years at least, the shaila. Probably before that also. So we had this grandiose idea that Dvar Torah Mos Kainis, learned that from Hektish, this became the source of this fundamental principle, and we're just not sure whether it carries over to Maaseh Sheni. Rav Chaim one time said one way, one time said another way, we're trying to figure out Kedushin of Hay with Chizkiyah's Mos Rishonis. We're working out the details of Maaseh Sheni, but Hektish, until 10 minutes ago, was not negotiable. Pidyon Hektish is Zichrit in Kinyin, and now even that becomes negotiable. Okay, so I just presented for my purposes the way Reish Lakish said. You were Tveri, you may have heard it differently. Maybe Reish Lakish disagreed for another reason. There may be other reasons why Reish Lakish disagreed. Possible, very possible. Okay. If you look at the Ramban, when the Ramban took on Rashi and said the Mokor for Kinyan Kesef according to Rabbi Yechon is not from Hekdesh, you know how the Ramban formulated his question against Rashi? Lo yafinan hedyat mehektish. What does that mean? Lo yafinan hedyat mehektish. So the Ramban could have meant it's just they're too different from one another because one's a Beis Hamikdash, one's a person. Well, the Ramban could have meant something much more profound. What is that? Lo yafinan hedyat mehektish. Hektish is pidyon. This is kinyan. What do they do with each other? So we have strong reason to believe that this absolute equation. Like yesterday we thought this was about as true as equals MC squared. No one was going to question. This was like the whole world was hinging upon this equation. Pidyon Hektish is the Kinyan Kesef. And now we're not even sure that it's true. Even if Rashi said it, who says we possibly like Rabbi Yechonon? Even if Rashi said it, maybe we hold like the Ramban, the riff in the Ramban. So comes Rabbi Chanan with the final death blow to this equation. This equation is not here for very long, says Rabbi Chanan. Sezer Bachanan pulls off an unbelievable charifus. Sezer Bachanan, I'm not even sure this equation was true. According to Rashi within Rabbi Yochanan, I'm not even sure it was true. You know, we attacked this equation tangentially. We said, well, maybe we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe we don't follow Rashi. We were too weak. We couldn't hit it head on. Rabbi Yochanan had sharper than we are. Rabbi Chanan says, you know, I don't even think Rashi and Rav Mitzi ever said such a thing. He didn't say such a thing. Didn't Rashi say Peferish? The Mokar is Kinyan Kesef. The Mokar Kinyan Kesef, Pidyon Hektish. Says Rabbi Chanan, no. Look really carefully at the Rashi. Look carefully at the Rashi and see what Rashi did say and what Rashi didn't say. I challenge you to look at the Rashi. I challenge you to look at the Pasuk in Chumash, says Rabbi Chanan. When you play the Hektish, what happens? I want you to walk me through the steps of what happens at Pidyon Hektish. I have this table that's Hektish, and I take $100, I give it to the Gizbar. Tell me what happens next. See, look at the Chumash. What does the Chumash say? It says, V'nasan HaKesef HaKamlo. Now, if you're looking for that Pasuk, you're going to be disappointed because there's no such Pasuk. V'nasan HaKesef HaKamlo is Chazal's way of just shortening, saving a little bit of ink. Something. So just make a short version. But what happens if you look at the pasuk? What happens? I have a davar shel hektish. I have my table. Okay, that's my table. It's hektish. And now I go ahead and I take a couple of coins. Right, I give a coin and I give it to the gizbar. What would the gizbar look like? If you had to draw a gizbar, what would you draw him as? What? A tie? Pais? It depends. Is he a businessman or is he a Rashiva? So. Okay. Religious looking guy. He's happy. He's going to get money. This guy's sad. He's giving money. Right? You know, they used to have in the. You know those Taras books? Talking about the Taras books? Remember those? I got to thank you guys. Okay. Anyway, get back to the story. So here we have this guy is giving money to Mr. Gisbro over here. And what's happening? So I want you to walk me through what just happened. I gave you the money. Now what? I want you to tell me precisely what happened. Changes happened. Tell me what the changes were. Two changes. There we go. Now we're talking like a lawyer. Two changes. What happened?
I would change from the table to the mouth belongs to the guy, not the Gizbar.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kedusha is Baka.
Perfect. Right? Two things happened. There was a change in Heter that now became Mutter. Used to be Kodesh. 2 minutes ago you were Chayav Be'ila. Now you can use the table. The second thing that just happened is the Mamon, the title, I like that, went from the Gizbar. The title now goes to the Poder. And where does it say that in the Chumash? Where does it say that in the Chumash? Well, the Torah says, you have it of a Kaddish, you pod it. How do you know that it goes to the Poder? Maybe it's just the Hektish is Pacha, and now Kalakadim Zacha. Maybe when I'm Poder something, it's no longer Kaddish, and now somebody else gets it. Where does it say that I get it? To Kamlo. It says, Nasanke, Allah, Vahay Allah, Kamlo, Vahay Allah, same thing. State in the Chumash itself, that through my mechanism of Pidyon Hektish, I become the owner. Says Rabbi Ochanan, becoming the owner, there's only one way to explain that. How is that? That is a what? That is a Kiddush Kesef. There's no question about that. But the fact that it becomes Mutter, is that a Kinyan Kesef? Not necessarily. That may be a Dinamais Pidyon. It could be, says Rachel, this is a brisk opinion over here. A guy standing in Pashto Chakaisai, giving the Kayan $100 for the table. There are two different Chalaisim taking place. Not only are the two results taking place, they're working through different mechanisms in Halacha, two different vehicles, two different tracks here. One is a track of Kesef, one is a track of Pidyon, of Adavar Kodosh, which is just a head there. Says Rabbi Chanan, there's no Raif and Rashi whatsoever that the mechanism of Pidyon goes through the vehicle of Kinyan Kesef. Rashi brought a raya from the end of the pasuk. Rashi's raya is that it says, "V'nasa v'kasev v'hayelav v'kamlo." From the fact that the Torah lets you now own it, the only way to explain that is because your kesef created a kinyan kesef. Often, no, zok Rabbi Yechanan. What? What did Rabbi Yechanan say? From there, we can derive what? What can we derive? The Torah most kindness. The pidyon itself, I have no idea how the pidyon happened. Pidyon happened through Isra'el. So what Rabbi Chanan just did now is that he basically knocked this equation out of the box. There is no such thing as Kinyan Kesef being repaired. Kinyan Kesef happens to also every Pidyon Hektish is accompanied by a secondary Kinyan Kesef, but it's not the mechanism of Pidyon Hektish. So Rabbi Isai, if I would stop you now and ask you at 10 to 12 on a Tuesday, I would ask you, so tell me, there are two Dinim of Pidyon in the Torah. There's Pidyon Hektish and there's Pidyon Maaseh Sheni. Please explain to me the relationship between those din of pidyonim, pidyonis, whatever they're called, and kinyonim. I want to know, are those pidyonim kinyonim or not? I want you to walk me through this. A pidyon hektish, general sugya. Pidyon, hektish, and you have my sesheni. I want to just know, is it a kinyon or not? I want to know, what's that in? Is pidyon a kinyon or not? So tell me, what do you think about Hektish? Who is the big believers? Who's signing on to say that Hektish is? The Hektish is yes, a Kinyan. Who's saying that? Who says that really, really, who really held this way? Reb Chaim where? Right, Reb Chaim and the Rambam, right? Reb Chaim and the Rambam, he said that's Agamara, can't argue with Agamara. Right? Pidyon Hektish is a Kinyan. And what did Reb Chaim also say? In that same piece, Reb Chaim and Rambam, what else is a Kinyan? Maaseh Sheni is also a Kinyan. And that's how he answered Tosfos Kashi about from Petach Hamor. Remember that? How does he do with Chizkiyas Din? I have no idea. Rechaim doesn't address Chizkiyas Din of Malos of Rishinus. He doesn't tell you what he does with that. Okay? In the later years, we don't know what he did with that. Okay? Now, who's a big believer of splitting between the two? That Hekdesh is a Kinyan, but this is just a Pidyon, Miasavahata? Who's a big believer of that? That's who? That was Reb Chaim when? L'Reb Ochanan. Right? That's Reb Chaim told Reb Ochanan Baal Peh, and that explained away. We kept the Rashi intact in Bav Metziah, that it's Kinyan, and Pidyon explains away Chizkiyas Din, and the best we could do was crossed out the word Master Sheni out of Agamah. That was the best we could do to help Reb Chaim. The third possibility, what Reb Ochanan himself is suggesting on his own against Reb Chaim, is saying, you know, this is Zichr Pidyon, no question about that. Most of Rishon Chizkiyah points that direction. And that which got us down the wrong track of saying that Pidyon Hekdesh is a Kinyan is probably not right either. Three logical possibilities. Rabbi said, this is all introduction because we're just trying to get to our sugya. The whole goal was to get to our sugya. Our sugya was discussing something comparing and contrasting to Kedushin, right? Our sugya was, why are we talking about this topic? It's a nice topic. I always like this topic, but I like a lot of topics. So why are we learning this now? Because this is the ABCs of Kedushin of Emet Aleph. It's the give and take between Pidyon Hekdesh, Pes HaSheni, and Kedushin. So Bishlama, which of these three possibilities reads smoothest in Kedushin Daf Hei? Forget about what it does about Metziah and Gimel. Which of these three possibilities reads smoothest in Kedushin Daf Hei? No question. Number one reads the best, right? We have a gear, so we don't have to do anything monkey business and cross out words. Everything is great. Hekdesh, Pes HaSheni, everything Shalom HaYisrael. For the Chaim's version to Reb Ochanan, we're okay with the Hekdesh. We had some radical thoughts about maybe, you know, maybe crossing out the Or Master Sheni out of our sugya. We weren't even sure it existed. But at least we had something to work with. At least that sugya could at least be salvaged with the Kenyan part, which again, for our sugya purposes, is good enough. You don't really need Master Sheni. Master Sheni is superfluous in the sugya, that's true. But if Rabbi Chanan's right, that both Pidyon Master Sheni and Pidyon Hekdesh are not really Kenyanim. They're really in the heart and souls Pidyonim. And the heart of souls, they're just changes in this of a heter. And they have nothing at all to do with Cheshire Mishpat. Then which Gemara is staring us in the face? The Gemara are we most concerned with? What? Kedushin of Hemanel. What does the Gemara mean when it says Mala Hekdesh something? My Sheni Hekdesh both one. She can put it. My Indian day tells that I'm learning Kedushin. I'm learning Kinyanim, and you're learning Pidyon. What are you mixing me up for? What are you comparing? Mixing apples and oranges? You're bringing me a kasha from Pidyon to Kedushin. My Indian day tells. I'm learning Zikin and you're learning Kachur. It's a different saying. Who thought about this Kasha? And you went, who thought to all these three different, who thought the Gedalia Chavarim, these three different possibilities, and then realized that, hey, wait a second, the third one of Rabbi Chanan doesn't fit into the Gemara. Unless I said it to you already, I gave it already to you. I asked the Kasha in a funny way, I thought some guy would catch on to it. I said, why do you mean Kachur? And we're learning Zikin and you're learning Kachur. What's the answer? What? I'm learning Ezekiel and you're learning Kachim. So there are two problems with that statement. What?
Why can't you say the general
truth? No. Because I don't like that, because then there's nothing for me to talk about. Okay? I'm learning Ezekiel and you're learning Kachim. Can I remind somebody what Seder, Maseches Kedushin is in? I said it four times. Well, I'm learning Nezikin, you're learning Kachim. We're not learning Nezikin, guys. Wake up and smell the coffee. We're learning Nashim this year. You don't remember? Didn't we spend the week in Yavamas? I didn't say we're learning Maseches Kedushin. I said we're learning Seder Nash. We learned Zerayim this year. We spent a week and a half in Esra. Come on. It's been a full year. Not even December yet. What do I mean by that? What is this a throwback to? But to throw back almost to the very first day of Shir. Mamish, the first day of Shir. Ha'isha Nikdeis. Who remembers? Who remembers what Isha Nikdeis means? Should I remind you of Machlekes Rashba and the Ritva? Should I remind you perhaps of Machlekes Pnei Shur the Avnei Meluim? Remind you about Das Meicher? Wasn't there a running issue in the beginning of the Masechta about what exactly is this kinyan that's taking place at the time of Kiddushin? There was some Rishonim and some Acharonim who thought it was really, really kinyan, who really thought we were learning Nezikin. Which Rishonim, who remembers? Which Rishonim really thought we were learning Masechta Nezikin? Who remembers? In one place, Rashi, when the Gemara says you need Dasa Isha for Kiddushin, what does Rashi say? Das Machne. It's Chashanish, but it's Nezikin. Don't ask, I don't need a Pasuk, it's Das Machne. Remember the Kasha? Right, who remembers the Kasha we had? When the Gemara says in the Beis and the Beis, you needed a Mishnah to tell me that Isha has to be nicknamed Mirtzona. So what did the Rishonim ask the Kasha? The Rashba quoted the Kasha, no? Yesh Makshim. What was the Kasha? Tach Pshita. Das Makhne Bulinan. Like Rashi. The Rishonim who were talking the language of Das Makhne. Who remembers why, according to the Ritva, when you get married and you want to use your wife as the ribbis, why is it not ribbis deraisa? Remember, she borrowed money last week on our last date before we separated for a week. So she borrowed $10 from me. I'm standing under the chuppah and I whisper in her ear, "You owe me $10." And she says, "Okay, let me hold off for another week and I'll give you $12." And he says, "No, it's all right. I'm a nice guy. I won't collect the 12. The 10 I will collect. Not such a nice guy. The 10 I'll collect. And instead of giving me the two extra dollars, you're worth about $2. I'll take you as a wife." So the Gemara says, that's bad, but not so bad. Who's learning Ezer Neshach these days? It's not Ribbis Deraisa. Haram is Ribbis. Right? Did we talk about this?
Yeah.
Why isn't Ribbis Deraisa? He's got a wife. He got $10 and a wife. Why is that? Why is she less than $2? What did the Ritva say?
Net loss.
The Ritva says he's got a wife and he saved himself $2, but what does he got? He's got a lifetime of credit card bills. So it's a whole different ball game, right? Please don't close my. It happens to be our anniversary today, so please don't tell my wife. Okay? That could really be bad. Just sorry. Okay. So according to the Ritva, Ritva says if not for the net loss, as you said correctly, this would have been what? Would have been Ribbis Deraisa. Where's the mummies? Where's the moolah? Where's the cash? What's the answer? Where's the cash? You didn't read the first Mishnah, Isha Nikonais? She is the cash. What did the Rashba say? The Rashba says it's not a net loss. The Rashba says it's a net gain to get married. It's unbelievable. It's kavaldik. It's married. It's the greatest gift in the world. Says the Rashba, why is it not Ribbis Deraisa? Because it's not what? Because there's no mummies. Ribbis Deraisa means, anyone learned Ezer Neshach recently? If you understand anything in Ezer Neshach, which that's a big assumption for anybody who's learning Ezer Neshach, it's a hard parent. But you got to get something. You got to have some mominess, some change in mominess. There's no change, says the Rashba. And since Eina Isha nicknames the Gufa Isha Labaila, there's no change in the mominess, so there's no Ribbis Deraisa. So we've seen this running machlaikas already in Rashbas and Ritvas and Rashis and Sifas. And we saw it in the most clear and poignant way and where, which Acharonim say this Pem Mole, that there are two ways of understanding what Kedushin is. Come on. Pnei Shur Nevin Luim. What did Pnei Shur say? A little Chazara. Come on, good Chazara is good. The whole Besechta started to come together. Pnei Shur said, why is Ain Kedushin Tavis and Beishu Zish? Because you can't sell a car twice. That was the Marshal. I mean, he didn't say a car, but you can't sell a horse and buggy twice, as the Pnei Shur. Once she sold herself, she can't sell herself again. It's pure and plain and simple dinim mamonis. And the Avdim Luim said, it's not true. The Avdim Luim said, that's not why. You know why Ain Kedushin Tavis and Beishu Zish? Why? Because she's a what? Because she's an Ever. Man of Kamina, who remembers? Man of Kamina? Shiv Harufa, famous Shiv Harufa story, right? Shiv Harufa, she sold herself, but she's not an Erva. And that's only Rubi Kagan, that she is an Erva Chesed in the Bia, right? Remember that? We spoke with that also. Yeah, it's good. Bring back good memories. So, could we salvage this Gemara in Kedushin, according to Bechanan's Pshat, and say we got the whole thing wrong? We, for the last 2 days, we've been working with the assumption Kedushin is Zichra Kinyan. Why do we think that? Because the name of Eperk is Isha Nikneis. So we thought it was a Kinyan. So we've been sticking a, phrase go? Sticking a square peg into a round hole. We've been trying to push Hektish into this because we were so convinced that the starting with our baseline was that we were dealing with a Kinyan, because Kedushin is a Kinyan. So we've been bending over backwards. We'll do whatever we can, whatever surgery we could do in Hektish to make it work. So Rabbi Chaim thought Hektish and Maaseh Sheni are great. Then one place Rabbi Chaim backs half Maaseh Sheni, Rabbi Chaim backs half from Hektish. Now we're left with no peg and no hole. So what's the connection? So we have to go back to the drawing board and say we misunderstood. We worked with a mistaken assumption. We were assuming that Kedushin is such a Zad Din of Kinyan that we had to make Hektish work to meet the standards of Kedushin. Maybe we're totally wrong. Maybe Kedushin is not a Kenyan altogether. What is Kedushin? If it's not a Kenyan, what is it? It's a Hatfasas HaKedusha. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's called Maseches Kedushin. It's a Hatfasas HaKedusha. Rabbi Yisai, that's not just like something you say in a Shalosh Shuddas Torah, even in shuls that say those kinds of things. Who said this idea that Kedushin is Hatfasas HaKedusha? Who said it? Who was the first one responsible for making such a statement that there's a connection between the chalos of Hekdesh and the chalos of Kedushin? It's not just a drush you say in Shere Brachas. Who said it? Way before this. Who said it? The Gemara in the Beis Mabeis. The Gemara says, why does sometimes Chazal use the phrase Isha Nikneisa, or sometimes use the phrase of Ish Makadesh? The Gemara says, Lushad the Rabbanan, that the Chazal coined the phrase of Kedushin. Why? They just stam made it up, Yesh B'ayin. It was a nice rabbinic phrase. Why? Because the Lashon Kedushin expresses a Deraisadika concept. What's a Deraisadika concept? Oslo Kuliyam Kehektish. The Gemara says it. Pemboli and Abbez and Abbez. The Gemara says that Kedushin is a method of creating Hektish. It's not a Kenyan Bichlal. It's a method of creating a Kedusha, a Kedusha Sishus. That's what Kedushin is. It's a Kedusha Sishus. Once you say that, doesn't the Gemara read beautifully? The Gemara is discussing what methods are available to us to create Kedushas Ishus, to create Kedushas of Hekdesh. What methods are available? So the Gemara is pilpling back and forth Kesef and Shtar. So the Gemara puts the brakes on and says, wait a second. Malik Kesef. Kesef is much more powerful than Shtar in the realm of Hatfasas Kedusha. Why? Because what can Kesef do? What can Kesef do? It could be Paida. So it works to remove Kedusha. If it works to remove Kedusha, then it's much more mistah, but that it works to create Kedusha. Remember that theme? We had that theme before already. What goes in goes out? Who remembers? Where do we have a very similar concept? Not that long ago. Kesef by what? By Amma, by Eved, remember? If Kesef works in one direction, then it works in the other direction. It's a package deal. That's what the Gemara means here. When the Gemara says, Ma'ala Kesef, Shekin Paidim by Maisik Hekdesh and Maisik Sheini, the Gemara never said the word Kenyan. We got down the wrong path with Kenyan. I mean, we can't say Rav Chaim took us down that path, but Rabbi said that's where we ended up. We ended up going down the path of Kenyan because we were so convinced that Kedushin is a Kenyan. If we recalculate a minute and we think, wait a second, who says that Kedushin is a Kenyan? Maybe Kedushin is a Tfas Kedusha, then Pidyon Maaseh Sheini and Pidyon Hekdesh could also be just Pidyonis, just Hatfas Kedushas or Hafkas Kedushas. Hatfas Kedushas and Hafkas Kedushas are opposites of one another, but we're not learning Nezikin. Rabbi said, what Seder are we really learning on Daf Amud Aleph? We're learning Seder Kachim. Because Kedusha is a Lashon Kedusha. Rabbi said, Habaycha Yivchar, between three possibilities, is what's going on. All in this line of the Gemara. All in this one line of the Gemara. The give and take of the Gemara between Hekdesh, Maaseh Sheini, and Kedushin is the Gemara going down Rabbi Chaim's first route, going down Rabbi Chaim to Rabbi Chanan's second route, or as we going down Rabbi Chanan's third route. And ultimately, it spills back to everything that we start at the very, very beginning of the year in terms of just what is Kedushin, what's not Kedushin. Okay? All right? Stop here. Okay. What time is it? What? 14 of your own stuff? All right. Okay. Maybe we'll have that minute. Okay.